This message is brought to you by Croydon Tabernacle, a part of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Our mission is reconciling the individual, community, and the nation to God. Be blessed as you listen.
The topic is God's mighty deeds. God's mighty deeds. And I'm looking at Psalm 77. Now, it's not one of the, I don't want to call it the popular psalm. It's a psalm written by a man called Asaph. We know that David wrote most of the psalms. That's the person we normally know as one of the most of the psalms, basically. But for this particular Psalm 77, it was written by a man called Asaph. I'll make reference to my notes a lot, so please. Now, it was one of the Levites that worshipped in front of the Ark of the Covenant. The Bible says, I think in 1 Chronicles, that he played the cymbals and he also sang. He was a talented singer and a poet, like the B.O.J. If I, in some other parts of the Bible, he was called a seer and a prophet. I don't know whether you have an idea where I'm going with this. For a man that God will use, he must be found at his place of work. There are some of us who are content making up the number. You know, when they count the attendance, now I'm sure all of us will feature the male separately, the female separately, the children separately. Is that all there is to service? It has to mean more to you than just being a number. That's the first thing that I want to emphasize as we reflect. I must be found in the place where God has planted me and he has purposed and fitted me for. We are all being equipped for service in God's house. Unfortunately, we love the titles, but we forget that titles don't make the impact. It is the service that makes the impact. So that's our first point of reflection this morning. As we trust God for the mighty things that he wants to do in our lives, the question is, if he comes in today, will you find you and I in the place where he has asked us to occupy? Remember the story of the talents. What was that statement that the master gave to the servants after he had distributed the talents? He said, occupy till I come. So if I'm expecting God to do mighty things, the first thing for me is to be found in the place he has asked me to sit. Now, as I wrote here, God has given each of us grace. The question is, what am I going to give God in return? I'm sure that at the beginning of the year, for many of us, we had a list of things that we're trusting God for. The question is, have you also asked yourself, God, what do you want me to do for you? It may sound a bit odd, but then that's where, as I think about the story of Anna, she was coming every year to God's presence, to the point where Peninnah, the rival, was mocking her. It was the prayer she prayed. It was almost as if that prayer just simply keyed into God's plan. God was looking for a replacement for Eli. That was what God was looking for. It was almost as if Anna knew God's mind at that point. And she's like, God, if you give me, she specified the gender. That was how specific she was. If you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. Ah, God said, yes, that is what I'm looking for. So as God gives grace, as he does the things that he has promised to do, the question then for me is, what can I give God in return? Please note, the fact that you are busy in the place where God has prepared you to be doesn't ensure you from trials and tribulations. So if you're expecting that somehow, because I am busy for God, I am calling down fire and fire is answering. Elijah is a good example. One night, he was calling down fire. The next morning, what was he doing? He was on the run. Because the king's wife, Jezebel, threatened him. And he ran for his life. So you can call down fire today. There's no guarantee that tomorrow you will not have trials and tribulations. But let's not forget what we said. A man that is waiting for God's mighty things is a man that is found in the place of his assignment. Now, like we said, Asaph was a man that, as God gave him grace, he was a man that was found in the place of his assignment. But do you know that there was a time in his life too that he had his own issues? When you read a psalm like Psalm 77, I think, that's one of the popular ones that we read. He was a man that himself too had his own concerns, his own fears, his own doubts. For those of us today in the UK, I think a few days ago, my energy supplier wrote me, they've, I think, tripled the bills for electricity and gas. Tripled. You know, it's triple now. And honestly speaking, it is enough to cause you concern. You look around you and it's almost as if nothing is working. You are trying your best. You are striving, you are laboring, but sometimes it's almost as if nothing is working. It could be like Daniel. God will wait until you get into the lion's den before he steps in. Or it could be like Stephen, that he was stoned to death and in quotes, it was almost as if nothing happened. Whatever the situation, one thing that Asaph is trying to get us to do is to recall and remember and reflect. The reason why you and I must note the things that God has done in the past is that it gives you hope and confidence for the present and the future. But if you don't note them and you don't reflect on them, how do you recall? When God was speaking to the people of Israel, he said something very important. He said, when you sit down with your children, what should you do? Teach them to your children. God had a reason why he kept emphasizing that point. Because man by nature is quick to forget when things are easy. When everything is rosy, it's very easy to forget the goodness of God. We remember God when the problem starts. Once he solves that, we are back to square one. And that is what the story of Judges is all about. They will serve God. Once a judge arises and delivers them, and that judge dies, they go back to square one. They will suffer for another 40 years. Then they will cry, and then God will deliver. It was a cycle of falling down and rising up. But if we can only note and reflect and write down the things that God has done for us in the present, they give us hope for the future. If this account in the Bible were not written, what will provide you and I hope today? Think about that and reflect on that. The reason why we have hope is because we have seen men of old and women of old in the past who walked with God. Even though they did not see the fullness of the promise, but their lives give us hope that if it is still the same God, it can come through for me. So we go back to that Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12. It says, I will earnestly recall the deeds of the Lord. It says, yes, I will earnestly remember the wonders you have performed for our fathers. I will also meditate upon all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. So when the pressure comes, please let's learn to keep a diary. I do that for me. That's my personal example. I do that a lot. I've learned that for whatever it is I take to God, I note it down. Just as the pastor was praying this morning, one of the verses that I had written down as a word came from him. If you do not note it, how do you measure? If you don't keep track, how do you want to make note of the things that God is doing in your life? How do you provide hope for your children that are coming after you? In this generation where we're online, I remember reading the story about a company in the UK that allows the staff to either you come today as male, then tomorrow you can come as female. I think it was in the news a few days ago. That is the confusion that our children are faced with. What do you provide for them as guidance if you yourself don't keep track of the things that God has done for you? It is so important. If you take nothing away this morning, this afternoon, let that be the lesson that I learned to note as testimonies. And that's why we testify. Look at the testimonies that came this morning. different, you know, at different stages of our lives, God shows up. Please, let us not raise a generation of people that do not know God. It was said in Judges, and that it came to a point where there arose a generation in Israel that did not know the Lord. Why do you think that could have happened? Because their fathers stopped talking. They stopped telling their children about God's mercy. They stopped talking to their children. Let's not be so busy that we have nothing to pass on to our children who are coming after us. Because God will ask. Let's not forget, my accounting to God will not be based on another man's opinion or another man's views. It will be simply based on that which God has committed into your hands. Let it not be that I'm busy pursuing another man's dream when I leave my own assignment that God has given me unfulfilled. May God in his mercy help us. We really don't have too much time. I'll just simply go to the conclusion and just simply say, now, I do not ignore the present, but I'm not going to be limited by what my eyes can see now. Now, the one reason why I can recall the deeds of the Lord is because I have noted them down. Now, and that reason will also be that somebody else also gave an account of God's own dealings with him or her in the past. And those testimonies will now provide encouragement for me, giving hope that if God could do that for that person, he can also do that for me. What will I pass on to the children who are coming after me if there are no records of God's dealings with me? How do I offer words of encouragement with practical examples if I have no personal encounters to share? Why would God be so focused on me, you know, raising children that will fear God? Look at what God said about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. It says, for I know, Abraham, that he will command his children after him. That was God's testimony about Abraham. No wonder God worked with Abraham the way he did. I must never forget, and I must also ensure that I keep the knowledge of God alive for the generation coming after me. Men must see and know the mighty God that I have. It starts with me. Starts with me and my walk with God. Note, a man cannot give what he does not have. You can only take out of that which you have stored up to bless somebody else. With God, well, there's credits with God, yes. But there comes a time where all you can draw on will be what you yourself have stored up. That's why the Bible will say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. God is counting on me to be his ears, his eyes, his feet, his hands, and his heart, even in the face of what is going on around me. Can God count on you? Can God count on me? Even in this adulterous generation that we are in, can God actually be able to place the lives of men and women in your hands, in my hands, to say, I trust him that he will command his children and his generation after him to follow the commands of the Lord. Let's bow our heads as we just commit our lives again into God's hands and just ask him again for help. We are in a generation that is slowly losing regard for God. But yet, the standards of God don't change. It doesn't matter how much education you have or how enlightened you want to claim to be or how exposed you are. All those things don't matter. God's standards do not bend for any man. Whatever he called sin in the Garden of Eden or for Sodom and Gomorrah is still sin today. Nothing has changed. And if I must walk with God, I must walk in the consciousness of that understanding. Ask God again for help. That, Father, let my walk with you be perfect. Lord, let God be able to trust me with the lives of men. Let my life be a life that God can, you know, entrust the oracles of God, the treasures of God into my hands. Because he knows that I will be faithful in that which he has committed into my hands. That command to occupy till he comes, I would be a living testimony, even of that instruction, that which God has placed in my hand, I will be faithful in the discharge of that responsibility in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask again for your help this afternoon. We confess that we have no power of our own. We have no knowledge or wisdom of our own. the Bible says it very clearly that the foolishness of of God is even wiser than man's wisdom. You are the wisdom and the power of God. Lord God, please empower us. Empower us, even for service in this generation, that men will see you in us and they will be drawn to your light in us, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. Blessed be your name, O God. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were ministered to through this message. If you have any comment on this presentation or would like to contact us, our address is 38 to 40 Parsons Meet, West Croydon, CR03SL. To speak to a member of our team, you can call us on 0208-688-466. Our website address is www.croydontabernacle.org.uk. Thank you and God bless.